On Sunday mornings, we are currently in a series of lessons on 12 analogies of the Word of God. In other words, how the Bible describes itself. And we are currently, last week, we began to consider that the Word of God is compared to natural light. The Word of God is light. And that's both the written Word of God as well as the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. And so let's continue this morning with the analogy of the Word of God that compares it to light. Natural light enables us to see things as they really are. As we began to consider this last week, we understand our surroundings because there's light. We take it for granted, but we have all kinds of natural light. We have even the electricity and the lights that are provided for us. We just take it for granted when we can see. But what a blessing it is to be able to see things for what they really are. It brings so many benefits to us in the natural. And then we'll consider how those benefits also have an application in our spiritual life and our eternal life as well. We're able to discern because of light and because of the light of the Word of God, we're able to discern good from evil, the Bible tells us. We're able to understand what is truly profitable and what is not. And that is something that is essential in this world in which we live in. There are so many choices that the world gives us, but the Bible lets us see things. This is profitable, this is not. So we understand from the light of the Word of God, that is, its instruction, its exhortations, its warnings, those are all things that let us see things for what they really are, choices, attitudes, for what they really are and what they lead to, what the results of those. Let's begin this morning in Psalm 119 and verse 130. As we mentioned in our lesson beginning with this analogy of light, Psalm 119 is dedicated to the worth and the value of the Word of God. It's the longest passage in Scripture. And the entire subject of the 119th Psalm is the Word of God. How important it is, how essential it is in our life. And in Psalm 119 and verse 130, we read these words, "The entrance of your words gives light." And so here's the explanation of what that means. It gives understanding to the simple. I'm glad that we don't have to be the most intelligent person on the planet to understand what life is all about. We just need to understand what the Bible says to be true and believe it. And so when that light of the Word of God reveals to us the things that are pleasing to the Lord and the things that are not, we begin to understand what life is all about. We understand God, we understand His ways, and we understand what He's got prepared for us. Let's go back and read Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul puts it this way. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, Paul prays for the saints. He prays for us. And Paul, when you read his prayers that he's written in his epistles, you notice that they all have to do with coming to an understanding of the Word of God, to know the Word of God, and to obey it, and to apply it to your life. He could pray for a lot of things, and I'm sure that he did one-on-one. He prayed for the sick. He prayed for financial needs. He prayed for all the same things we pray for. But when it came time for the Holy Spirit to narrow down the things that are most important for us to know as Christians, his prayers have to do with our spiritual life, knowing what God wants us to know in order that we might live life to its fullest and that we might enter into that full reward in eternity, to rule and reign with Christ. And so he prays in Ephesians 1, verse 18, "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." That's a lot of power. the very power that raised Jesus from the dead works in you. And how it works and what it does, we can only know by studying this word, which gives us light. It enlightens us, that we might know what God has provided for us as his children in this life and in eternity. Paul prays that every believer would take advantage of the opportunity that we have, and yet so many do not take advantage of reading the Word of God at home. They don't take advantage of hearing it proclaimed in a local assembly where they can be built up spiritually. And as I've often emphasized, your spiritual condition is far more important than your natural condition, because your spiritual condition impacts every aspect of your life, including your natural life. But the spiritual life is eternal and has eternal benefits when we walk in the light, but there are also consequences when we fail to walk in the light. Let's go to Psalm 18 and begin to consider some of the benefits of light. Natural light, but then we'll also see that those same benefits translate into spiritual light. Psalm 18, and as we look at these different benefits of light, we'll see that they're all intertwined. One kind of leads to the other. They're almost inseparable in some ways, but we'll separate them out a little bit. The first one we want to look at is confidence. There's so much insecurity in life, isn't there? What to do? What's going to happen if I do this or if I don't do that? There's that hesitancy sometimes just to live life. But when you walk in the light of the Word of God, it'll give you confidence. Just like in the natural, you walk more confidently when you can see. Because in the dark, you're just kind of tentative and don't want to stumble. You don't want to hurt yourself. But when you have light, you just take off. You can live your life with confidence if you walk in the light of the Word of God, if you heed its instructions, if you heed its exhortation and its warnings. Psalm 18, verse 28. King David was a mighty warrior and a very successful king. Where did that confidence to live with that kind of strength come from? David tells us, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." In other words, you will give me understanding about what I should do and how I should do it. Verse 29, "For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall." Now that's confidence. Where did he get it? From understanding the will of God. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven." Over the centuries, this Bible has proven itself to be reliable. Why wouldn't we trust it? It's ageless, and it's proven itself to be reliable. "He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord, Jehovah? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." Again, remember, David is giving the praise for his success to God. Not his own abilities, but that God gave him everything he needed to be successful. That was his confidence. "He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and he sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arm can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness," your condescension is the Hebrew word. "Your condescension, your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip." That was his confidence. He got it from knowing what the Word of God was for his life, what the will of God was for his life. You can have that confidence in life with all of its unanswered questions, with all the confusion that there is out there. If you walk in the light of God's Word, you can have confidence that you're on the right path. The only way to understand who you are in Christ is to study the clear declarations of the Word of God, especially in the Apostle Paul's teaching for us. God revealed to Paul what we in this church age need to know to get ready for eternity and to enjoy this life as well. The second benefit that we can consider, and again, they're very closely connected, but that is guidance. The Word of God will guide you in the path that you should go. We've all heard of lighthouses. They're kind of a little bit out of practice anymore, although there are still some that exist. And when a ship out in the sea could see the light from the lighthouse, it knew what direction to come safely into the harbor. The Word of God is that for us. It points out the safe and the prosperous way for us to go. It'll lead us safely where we need to go in life. Those that ignore the guidance of the Word of God, and remember, when we're talking about, we use these general terms about the Lord guiding you, but there are specific instructions in the Word of God for your family, for your attitude toward others, for your every relationship in life. There are specific instructions. If we obey those, it will guide us in how we are to respond to things. Relationships are complicated, aren't they? Marriages, friendships, church relationships, they can be complicated. What step are we to take in those relationships, especially when things are confusing and difficult and hurtful? What should I do next? The Word of God will give you the next step for you to take if you'll heed those instructions. So it guides you. And then that, of course, leads to protection. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verses 24 to 26. We as Christians have an enemy that wants to keep us from bringing glory to God. He wants to disturb us from having peace and joy that's promised God's children. And he'll bring any kind of snare or temptation that he knows is going to cause us to fall short of God's will for our life. But if we'll listen to God's word, it'll protect us from those snares. A snare, you know, when a hunter uses a snare to catch an animal, he disguises it. It's sometimes those clawed snares that they have. Oh, man, that's torture. But, man, they make it look nice. They cover it up. You can't really see the claws, and you put a nice piece of meat or whatever it is that attracts the prey you're looking for. It makes it look really tempting and good. This is right. But it leads to pain and torture. Satan has those kinds of snares for you. Oh, man, they look good. What could possibly be wrong with this? It brings joy and people like me and, oh, this is great. And you step in that snare and you end up hurting. Why? Because the Word of God shed a light on that and said, no, that's not as nice as it looks. This is what's going to happen. The Word of God tells you that. It's a light. It exposes it. It puts one of those big red lights, warning, warning, warning. And yet, how many times do God's people ignore the warnings of the Word of God and they step in the snare anyway? May we learn that there's protection in the Word of God. It's not something to just to keep rob you from having fun. No. You really want to enjoy life, heed the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. This is how we help people. You don't help people by debating them and arguing with them and telling them how awful they are. That's not going to do it. You're to be gentle, able to teach. Teach what? The Word of God. Give them the light. Share the light that you have. Share it with them. Able to teach and patient. That's the tough one. People don't just automatically see how wonderful the Word of God is. In fact, they'll laugh and mock and call you naive and everything else. You have to be patient. Just give them the Word of God. First of all, give them the Word of God by living it in front of them. And then as the Lord gives you opportunity, share the light that you have been given that they might see the snares that are a part of life. Do it in humility. Remember, you were just as dark as they were until Christ gave you light. In humility, correcting those, not justifying, not agreeing with them. Yeah, that's right, that's right. No, correcting them who aren't in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape what? The snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The light of the Word of God can deliver from snares. It can keep you from stepping in it in the first place, but it also can deliver when the light of the Word of God is received. There are so many snares out there today that the world, under Satan's influence, have set for God's people. Let's walk in the light of the Word of God. Communion is another benefit of the light. Jesus Christ is the living Word. He's light. If we're going to have communion with him, we have to walk in the light. It just makes sense. You, You can't have fellowship with someone if you're going on two separate paths. You have to walk in the same light. Jesus is the light. We are to walk in the light. It brings that close communion with the Lord Jesus Christ that begins in this life, but it leads to a closer place with Jesus in eternity. Everyone who's accepted Jesus as their Savior is eternally a child of God. Some of God's children don't walk in the light. They don't quit being children. They're just stubborn, rebellious children that the Father lovingly disciplines and deals with. They cannot lose their eternal life, or it wouldn't be eternal. God's children are eternally saved. But saints, when we don't walk in obedience to the will of God, it interrupts our fellowship with our Father. We can't enjoy everything He wants us to enjoy because we've taken ourselves out of a position where we can benefit from His love and His grace. And it does have consequence in eternity as well, not a loss of eternal life. Every child of God has a home in heaven, not based on what they do or don't do, but based on what Jesus did on the cross. That's forever settled. But when the child of God does not live in obedience to the Word of God, there's a loss of reward that's promised in eternity. In the Scriptures, we read about a full reward and that God wants us to have a full reward. We can only do that when we walk in the light of the Word of God. Responsibility is another benefit, but also somewhat of a consequence if we ignore the Word of God. Once you hear the Word of God, you become responsible, whether you're unsaved or saved. When, in our example last week, when you see a stop sign and you're driving, because light and because you have eyes, you see the stop sign, you now become responsible to stop. And there are consequences if you don't. If you see a child that's about to dump boiling water off a stove onto themselves, you see that because of light. Now you have a responsibility to do something about that, to say something, to intervene if possible. The same is true with the light of the Word of God. John 3:16. We know that passage, but let's go ahead and read on beyond 16. John 3:16. When the unsaved person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and it brings light, they now become responsible to respond to that, either to accept it or to reject it. And there are consequences and benefits from one or the other. Consequences to reject, glorious benefits to receive. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting light. What a brilliant beam of light that is. Glorious. That's our message. Verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Me is not condemned. Glorious benefit of the light. But he who does not believe, he's condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. To reject the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to remain in eternal darkness. Eternal separation from our Creator, the very source of life. You become responsible when you hear the gospel. This is why we are to preach the gospel to everyone, to give them the opportunity to hear, to see what God's love and grace has provided for them in Jesus Christ. The choice is theirs. We can't make anyone. We can't convince anyone to be saved. All we can do is share the light of the gospel. Some will accept to eternal life. Some will reject to eternal darkness. But they become responsible upon hearing the Word of God, upon seeing the light. That's true of the unsaved. They become responsible when they hear the gospel. But saints, we as God's children also become responsible when we hear the Word of God taught. The Word of God is not, whether you're saved or unsaved, the Word of God is not something that you can take or leave. People think so. It will have an impact on your life one way or the other. Why not reap the benefits of the grace of God that provided you His very Word? Ephesians 5. I'll read this passage, And as we read it, we all become responsible for what it says. Ephesians 5, verse 1. We'll read through 20. A long passage. But this is some of the specific instructions that are light for us, that cause us to see things as they are. Are we going to walk in them? Are we going to apply it or not? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us and an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Do we do these things, or not do the things that are not profitable? For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Those things they belong to the unsaved person. Don't walk in them. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, those that ultimately and finally reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. That belongs to them, not you, as a child of God. Don't walk in it. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable, pleasing to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. How do you do that? With the light of the Word of God. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Talking to Christians. And Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you do that? The light of the Word of God. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot of light. I'm almost blinded by that. Can I really do those things? Yes, because the very life of the light of the world is in me, Jesus Christ. I can do these things by his power, by his light. Now that we know these things, you can't just read them and go home and say, well, that was a nice sermon. Glad Brother Doug believes that. And then ignore these instructions. Disobey these instructions. You've had your eyes opened. I've had my eyes opened. I'm now accountable. I'm now responsible for that. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. I thank God for the enormous revelation of the grace of God that I've had the privilege to know, and that I was raised hearing this message all my life. What a privilege that is for me. But man, is it a responsibility. Because I know what I know. Not because I'm so smart and figured it out, but because God graciously gave me this light. Now I'm responsible to live it, and I'm responsible to share it, and so are you. That's how seriously we are to take our responsibility at knowing these truths.